Let me tell you about a story I read this week. I want you to listen very carefully. I read it on the internet, so it's true. There was a lady, and she had landed in an airport, and it was a long time between connecting flights. So she thought, well, what I'll do is I'll just go buy a book, and I'll read a book in the waiting area while I'm waiting for my connecting flight. So she bought a book, and there was a bag of cookies right there, too. So she thought, oh, I'll just buy the bag of cookies as well. Bought the bag of cookies, went down, sat down in the waiting area, and started reading her book. And it wasn't too long after that, the waiting room was pretty full, and a gentleman came and sat right next to her. And to her surprise, the gentleman opened the bag of cookies between them and took two cookies out and started eating these two cookies. She was horrified. She thought, what the heck's going on here? But the waiting room was packed, and she didn't want to make a scene. So she didn't say anything, and she started eating the cookies, and she would take a cookie, and he would take a cookie. I mean, what a thief, she thought. He has no manners. He didn't even have the decency to ask me if he can have one of my cookies. Like, she was just, oh, so just angry, getting worked up inside. So they ate cookies one for one until the bag was just about finished. There was one cookie left. And she thought, she never made eye contact with this guy at all. And she thought, what is he going to do with this one last cookie? Is he going to eat that last cookie that's mine? And sure enough, he reached in the bag, took the cookie out, and he broke it in half. And he offered her half, and he ate the other half. Oh, she was just fuming. Like she it was all she could do was to hold things in. But it wasn't long after that that the call for her to board her airplane came. So she just quickly grabbed up all her stuff that she had lying there and grabbed it all up and got seated on the airplane. And as she got seated, she thought, you know what, I'm just about finished the book. I'm gonna finish reading my book. And she was looking for her book and amongst her stuff. And you know what she found? Her bag of cookies that weren't even opened. It wasn't him eating her cookies. She was eating his cookies. So I ask you, I'm not sure if the story's true or not, but as you listen to that story, what were your thoughts toward the man? As I told Kathy, for visitors, that's my wife, as I was telling her the story, sitting down at lunch, I don't know if it was Friday or, it was probably Friday or maybe it was Thursday. And as I'm telling her the story, she's just like, you can just see her getting worked up. She was like, what is this guy? What kind of ignorant guy is this? And I don't know what your thoughts were. But you know, maybe they were, how rude and inconsiderate can a person be? But sometimes we can be quick to place judgment on a person, especially because all we see is their actions. I mean, all she saw was a guy reaching into a bag of cookies that looked just like her bag of cookies. So she jumped to the judgment quickly and judged him as a thief, inconsiderate, and not a very nice man. Yet the truth was, the man's heart was very gracious, merciful, kind, and generous. He let her eat half her cookies. But as Christians, sometimes we judge people by what we see. And we don't see the heart. We may judge them by the clothes they wear, or by the color of their hair, what kind of car they drive. You know, oh, that must be a great guy. He's driving a big fancy whatever. They're so fancy I can't pronounce the names. Or maybe the race or nationality of a person. We just automatically judge them because of that. Or who we see them with. Oh, did you see Joe? He was hanging out with so-and-so. So he must be, not necessarily though, eh? Or maybe by the amount of tattoos or piercings they have. I mean, if they have one tattoo, if they have a whole bunch of tattoos, sorry, Gordon. If they have a whole bunch of tattoos, you know? My son's got tattoos all up his arms. He's one of the greatest, I may be a little biased, but he's one of the greatest people you could ever meet. Oh, I thought that was my daughter laughing over there. I thought that was his sister going, what? But it isn't anything new, this judging, you know. We can be quick to judge. But it isn't anything new because listen to the disciples who are walking with Jesus. And we read in John chapter 9, verse 1, as Jesus went along, Jesus saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, the man or the parents, that he was born blind? Because he was born blind, he sinned? Or his parents sinned? There had to be something wrong? You know, but that's the way people judge. I remember when we were, when we felt called to go to Bible college, and so we put our house up for sale, and the market was really crummy, and I've told you that before. The market was really crummy, and didn't know if it would sell, but we were believing it would sell, and we were praying, and it wouldn't sell, and it wouldn't sell, and you know, those faithful Christians, they came by and said, well, you know, if your house sells, you know it's God's will for you to go to Bible college. So are you telling me if my house didn't sell that I missed the will of God and I didn't hear God? Like, you know, we judge by the outward circumstances. Our Heavenly Father never judges by external things. For we read in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7, and the last half of the verse says, the Lord does not look at the things man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Well, we can't see the heart for the most part. But he looks at the heart. See, judging a person's a delicate operation, for we don't always see the heart of a person. We don't see the intent or the motive or what's in the person's heart. I mean, if a person has a whole pile of piercings and tattoos, that's just on the outside. The heart could be the biggest heart in the whole wide world. It could be so filled with Jesus. So as we continue on in our series, What Life is Like, What Life in the Kingdom of God is Like, we read these words of Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount. In Matthew chapter 7, starting verse 1, it says, do not judge, for you will be judged. What does Jesus mean by these words? What does judging mean here? Tolstoy, a Russian novelist and philosopher of the 1800s, believed that when Jesus was wrote this, or when he said it, he wasn't there when he said it, but when he read the Bible and he read this, he believed that what Jesus was stating, that we as a society should not have any form of law court. Because Jesus said, don't judge, lest you be judged. So we shouldn't have any law courts. Can you imagine a land without law courts? That can't be what Jesus is talking about here, though. Because Jesus' words are not in the context of talking about legal judgment. The word, the Greek word here is not, has nothing to do with legally judging here. Also, Tolstoy's thoughts don't line up with what the Bible declares, because the Bible declares that God has put those in authority over us, and we're to submit to their authority. And if you want to check that out, you can look at that. That's in, I lost my notes here. Sick. Anyhow, I'm lost. Oh, Romans 13 and 1 talks about the authority and submitting to authority. Others believe that Jesus here is declaring that we as Christians should never form or express an opinion about another person. Like, we should never come up with anything. We should never judge others, but always be easygoing, tolerant, and allow almost anything for the peace and quiet and unity. Like, we should just lay down and just let it go. And that, again, doesn't line up with what's written in the Bible. Because if you just go a few more verses on in Matthew chapter 7, verse 15, and the first part of that says, watch out for the false prophets. So if we don't form any opinions, if we don't judge, how do we know who the false prophets would be? If we don't talk with them and hear and then form an opinion on what they've had to say. What Jesus is talking about here, when he's talking about judging, is saying that we are not to have negative criticism toward a person. Now, there's negative criticism and there's positive criticism. Positive criticism is a good thing, as it shows others in an area in their life that needs strengthening. A person who offers some positive criticism is not only there usually to point out that, you know what, you could probably do really better in this if you change this, but they're usually there to walk alongside us as we do it. Usually somebody with positive criticism has something to share with us how we can even be better. The person with the negative criticism finds every little nitpicky fault they can, and it's usually to tear a person down so they might look better. And what happens is the one criticizing leaves the person hurting and in pain and suffering. And the negative criticism doesn't help. They're not there to help them move on. We are not to judge others in order to tear them down, leave them hurting and suffering, or to make ourselves look better. When we judge others, it should be with a positive spirit to help them change their ways and become a better person, to help them soar, to help them even surpass us. Listen to what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7, verse 2. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. This is a pretty sobering statement. But these are the words of Jesus. He said this, you know, in the manner you judge, you will be judged. If I'm a negative and mean-spirited in judging others, what can I expect in return? Like if I'm mean to you and judge you, and every time you turn around, I've got some nitpicky thing about what you do and that you can't do it right, you're probably going to say, hey, Scott, you know that sermon you preached the other day? Well, let me tell you. You had your grammar wrong. Your spelling was wrong on the slides. And this, and this, and this, and this. I can expect the same thing back. But it even goes further than that. Rather than just being judged by the other person, we will be judged by God, our Heavenly Father. Now, I know there are some Christians that don't believe that we will be judged by God, but the Bible clearly states that we will be. Let me share two accounts where we will be judged by God. First, we see that there will be judgment of all men to determine whether they will enter the kingdom of God, whether we'll enter heaven, the kingdom of heaven, or not. Jesus shares in Matthew chapter 25, he shares an illustration about sheep and goats, and the sheep are the Christians, those who have accepted Jesus and what he's done for him on the cross. That Jesus laid down his life and died for our sins. And the goats are those who have rejected what Jesus has done for them on the cross. And it says in that illustration, and if you can read it from verses 31 to 46 there, you can read that Jesus comes in and they separate the sheep and the goats. There will be a judgment of all people, of those whose name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, those who've accepted Jesus and those who haven't. Well, okay, I can understand that. I believe that. But Paul writes that Christians will also be judged. Their deeds, their works will be judged. Listen to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due him for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. This is not a judgment. This has nothing to do with whether we're going to make it into heaven or not. This is about our acts and our deeds and what we've done for Christ. And we're going to be judged on those things as we stand before the seat of judgment. I know this isn't happy. We don't like to be judged. But it's truth. We are going to be judged. We will even be judged on those things we've done in secret. You know, we've done them behind closed doors and we think, well, nobody knows. Our Heavenly Father sees all things. Our Heavenly Father sees all things. And what will happen is we'll be judged, and those things that have no value to the kingdom of God will be burned away. Paul connects the judgment seat of Christ with judging others when he writes in Romans 14:10, "You then, why do you judge your brother? Or why do you look down on your brother? For we will all stand before God's judgment seat." If we are not convinced yet not to judge others wrongly, and we think we have the right to do so, listen to what Jesus goes on to say in Matthew chapter 7, verses 3 and 4. "Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, 'Let me take the speck out of your eye,' when all the time there's a plank in your own eye?" Jesus uses pretty strong sarcasm here. And the metaphor maybe came from as he was the son of a carpenter, and he would know what it's like to get sawdust in your eyes. It's pretty painful. Try and visualize what Jesus is stating here. You got a piece of sawdust in your eye and somebody with a plank. If you can't, maybe you can identify it with this. Here, let me help you get that speck out of your eye. You know, Jesus is saying that we who are full of faults and sin have no right to start looking at the faults and sins in other people's lives. There's a good chance that our sin in our own lives, you folks are good, but you know, there's a good chance that the sin in my life is as equal, if not greater, than the sin in the person that I'm trying to get the sin out of. So I got this big plank in my eye and I can't even reach them because I keep bashing into them with the plank. Jesus is stating that when we are judging others and we've got so much sin in our own lives, we cannot help anyone else because our spiritual vision is impaired by the plank in our own eye. Wow. If that's all true, and it is, then I think I might just want to not form any opinions. I might go with that second group of people that don't form any opinions and just be easygoing and, you know, let it go. But, you know, it's better to be safe than sorry. Yet that's, as we stated before, that's not an option. That's not what Jesus is saying. This is not what living in the kingdom of God should look like. We are called to make positive judgments. Jesus exhorts us in Matthew chapter 7, verse 5. He says, "You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye." Jesus is telling us that we're to take, to make judgments, and in doing so, we will be able to help others. It's all about the heart. Again, like we've been talking about in the Sermon on the Mount, in this whole life in the kingdom, it's all about the heart. It's all about helping others and us being right. If I get a piece of sawdust, or if I get something in my eye, it's very painful. As a machinist, I would wear goggles or glasses all the time when I was machining, but it was quite, from time to time, I would get something in my eye, and it was very painful. And if it wasn't taken care of, if I didn't get it out, sometimes I had to go to the doctor to get it out, to the emergency ward to get it out, but if I didn't get it out, the eye would fester, and it could do permanent damage, or I could lose it, the whole eye. Well, we all know what a delicate operation it is to get something out of the eye. We don't want somebody coming and saying, "Hey, you got something? Hey, let me get that out of your eye with these tweezers I've got here. You know, I can just get these in there, and I'm sure I can get that, you know, that piece of sawdust out of there." No, we don't want that. And we don't want somebody that's blind or half blind going, "You know, I can get it out. You just, you know, hold your head still. Where's your head? Oh, that's your hand? Oh, sorry." You know, it's a delicate operation. In a sense, Jesus is saying that in the same way, removing the faults or sins from someone else's life is also a delicate operation. I mean, it's not something we can take lightly. It's serious. And it's delicate. But it's something that needs to be done, for if, when judging a person, we see sin in their lives and do not help them to remove it, then that sin can cripple them or eventually destroy them. Yet it's such a delicate operation. It's not like being a bull in a china shop. And I've seen this too often where it's the bull in the china shop thing and it's, hey, bucko, you're not fooling anyone. I can see that speck in your eye. It's like, I've got this Bible and let me tell you, these are your sins and I can list them one by one and you better get it right now. And there's no grace and there's no mercy and there's no compassion. That's not what Jesus is asking here. He's telling us that we need to have our lives in order so that we can help our brother. We need to get that plank out of our own eye. So what needs to happen first is we need to spend some time asking Jesus if there's sin in our own eye. If there's something in my life that's going to hinder me helping my brother or my sister. We need to remove the plank. We need to judge ourselves. Because if we don't, it's like the blind leading the blind. And we all know how that goes. We are exhorted in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, 31, but if we judged ourselves, we would not come under judgment. If we judge ourselves, in other words, if we come before God and say, God, you know, check me, see if there's some wicked and evil way in me, cleanse me. We are called to judge our own lives with the same judgment we would judge someone else. Because if we don't, if we judge others by a greater and stricter standard than we judge our own lives, then what did Jesus say we were? We are hypocrites. May I also state that the delicate operation is not something which is to be taken lightly. We're not, and don't get me wrong, I'm not saying we need to go out there and judge each and every person and like just going looking for sin. That's not what we're to do. It's a delicate operation. It is done with much prayer and love. It needs to be truth and love balanced. If I notice sin in my brother or sister's life, I don't quickly jump on it. I want to pray about it. God, how do you want me? Do you want me to be the person? I might not even be the right person to deal with it. It might be Charlie that or Martha might, God might have that would can deal with that. And it needs to be done in mercy and grace. It needs to allow the Holy Spirit to work through us. It's not about us. It's not about, well, do you know how many people I've cleaned up last week? I talked to this person, I found this person, this person, this person. That's not what it's about. It's the Holy Spirit allowing others to become better and soar to great heights. And doesn't that all make sense? Doesn't it all line up with what Jesus is saying on the Sermon on the Mount? Like Matthew chapter 5, 7, blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. So what is Jesus, what did we learn there? We need to be merciful people, right? So when we're judging somebody, we need to judge them with mercy. And what about in Matthew chapter 6, verse 12, in the Lord's Prayer, we read, forgive us our debts, as we all also forgive the debts of others, of our debtors. We need to look at our own lives and then apply that mercy and grace. Do unto others as you would have them do to you, to us. Judging is not with the sledgehammer. May we be people who first come to Jesus and allow Him to remove the plank from our eye so we can clearly see and be used in His kingdom to help remove the speck from our brothers. It's all about putting others ahead of us. You know, as we do that, everyone becomes more like Jesus, and He is exalted. As we remove the plank from our eye, we become more like Jesus. And as we are able to help someone and walk alongside them as they remove that speck from their life, they become more like Jesus. And He alone is glorified.